This podcast was specifically created for Distress and Crisis Ontario organizations and their volunteer responders to provide training and educational assistance on a variety of topics. As information evolves and changes, these podcasts are meant to offer ongoing support with the goal of updating them on an ongoing basis. We thank the volunteer responders and the contributors to this podcast. Please visit our website, dcontario.org, for more information and how to access free mental health services. Thank you.
Welcome. My name is Brenda, and I'll be your host. In this week's episode, I will be interviewing Florence Juma. Florence is in spiritual care at Grand River Hospital as a chaplain and is also an adjunct professor at Luther. Stay tuned as Florence shares the impact of isolation on patients, how spirituality can be used as a coping mechanism during isolation, how to handle isolation, how we can support others in isolation, and other insights. Enjoy. Good evening, Florence. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to do this interview with me. Can you please tell us about yourself and the work that you do?
So I work in multiple contexts. Mm-hmm. The first context, the primary context, I work at the hospital as spiritual care practitioner. Mm-hmm. And primarily that's about most of the days of the week, usually, but there has been need for extra days during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So the nature of the work in spiritual care is just as part of the team, the allied team, okay, working with individuals of different faith perspectives or faith practices,
mm-hmm,
and even individuals who maybe they don't align themselves or affiliate themselves with any particular religion, but just spirituality, supporting their spiritual journeys is just not so much aligned with religion, but just, mm-hmm, something that brings them hope or comfort during the times when they're in the hospital.
Okay.
My secondary work is, mm-hmm, in the hospital. I also do some education. I receive students who are training to become clergy or, mm-hmm, to practice spiritual care in institutions like health institution or correctional or any other institution, even educational institutions. They come to do practicums. So I am a certified spiritual care practitioner and supervisor educator for spiritual care students.
Okay.
Secondary is with the Martin Luther University College at, mm-hmm, Wilfrid Laurier University. I teach part-time. Just I try to take one course per term,
mm-hmm,
and teach in the Department of Spiritual Care and Psychotherapy. So mostly that will be in the evenings as when possible, and during the pandemic, doing it from home, I've also done it on Fridays, Friday, mm-hmm, being my day off from the hospital.
Okay.
And so, yeah, those are the two. And on the side, I do some counseling, but very minimal, yeah.
Okay. Wow, it sounds like you're very busy and you're spread out in different areas. Yeah, so right now that we're in the midst of COVID, a lot of people are suffering with isolation. So could you give us your definition of isolation?
So thinking about the word isolation, it means multiple things, but the bottom line is separating or setting aside for the purpose of either protecting,
mm-hmm,
or protecting the one that's separated or put aside, or for the purpose of studying to understand. So the current isolation is, it's imposed. Mm-hmm. It's not a situation where anybody willingly would want to walk into separation. It's not for the good of anybody.
Yeah.
So in the hospital context, when there is isolation, mm-hmm, we know that the main purpose is when we enter a room that for a patient who is in isolation, is that patient is compromised and we cannot bring anything from outside that can further jeopardize the the recovery of that individual. So we wear what we call personal protective equipment to enter that room. But the current isolation is different. It's people isolating at home.
Yeah.
So not like I am here for a temporary period so I can get well. It's just I'm here, period, staying at home and not having their usual social or relational aspects that kind of cause them to thrive. So the current isolation is a little bit on the negative side, but necessary for people to be well.
Yeah. So with that, how has isolation impacted people in general or your patients?
With the patients, it's difficult because isolation means no visitors. Exceptions are made for unique circumstances, and those are rare. Unique circumstances include end of life or circumstances, but generally no visitors. Where there are no visitors, it further impacts people negatively. One of the things that we have done to mediate that is to have iPads in the hospital.
Oh, that's cool.
And those iPads, you can connect people either with family and some of them with clergy, with what we call care partners. That is minimal. It's helpful but minimal. So yes, isolation has affected people who find themselves in the hospital at this time because you're already so compromised. Your situation is already critical. You are in a crisis because you don't go to the hospital just to have a walk or have a physical. You go there because there is a health crisis.
Yeah.
It's not when someone should further be isolated from their support. So we do our best as allied clinical staff to bring a little normalcy as much as possible, but definitely it's not easy.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. So also, can spirituality be used as a coping mechanism? If so, how? Like in terms of emotional health, psychological health?
I want to read from a paragraph from something I'm working on about the art and science of spiritual care and psychotherapy.
Okay.
And so I write here that spiritual care and psychotherapy is the care that attempts to sustain and care for the human person from the inside out. That is the spirit and the mind. Whereas physical care may focus on the visible trauma, the psychological care seeks to cure the psychological and emotional trauma. And spiritual care seeks to care for the spiritual trauma, that which ails the soul. Spiritual care is at the center of all the other forms of care. Heart of the physical illness lies a spirit that feels oppressed by the ailing ailments of the body. At the center of psychological and emotional trauma is a wounded spirit. And in the midst of a mental illness lies a troubled spirit seeking to make sense of the pain and the suffering. So spiritual health and wellness almost ties all this together, addresses the wounded soul, the troubled spirit, the aching heart, and it's just from psychotherapy, from talk therapy, if you may use that. It can be from pharmacological, like from taking a pill or taking a needle, but complements the one who is taking those pills and needles.
Okay, nice. Thank you for sharing that. And also, what can people do to handle isolation over the holidays, especially due to COVID, and how is it dealt with in the hospital?
So one of the things that's happening during isolation and during the pandemic is that people find themselves separated, but also the opportunity that it has unveiled of the media using our technology and the media. Not everybody have access, in which case the best thing to do is to reach out, to start with immediate inner circle. One may not visit with relatives or close friends, but if there is a way in the hospital, there are phones. When the iPad, you can use the phone. If there is just a way to stay connected, once a day, call one member of the family. Once a day, call maybe a friend person if it is okay with them. Talking to someone, a family or a friend, a relation, just outside, just talking normal things, so that all your full day is not surrounded by medical treatment, therapy, physio. One time you can call someone from outside and talk about the weather and talk about the baby maybe growing or not growing,
mm-hmm.
or silly thing that you may do after the pandemic, that can help somebody's reduce some of the stress,
mm-hmm.
or just emotional trauma.
Yeah, it's been very helpful to have technology. I always think about, if technology did not exist, I wonder how we would be coping, because a lot of us are connecting through Zoom, through Facebook chat, through different types of social media. So it's good that this is a time where we have technology that is able to connect each and every one of us. Mm-hmm.
It's been helpful, yes, you're right. If we didn't have it, some of us, because of our age, we didn't think technology was so much our thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, at this time of the pandemic, it's just been an equalizer. Some of us have done some family reunion or family sessions.
Yeah.
That has been helpful.
Yeah, for Christmas, I got to see some of my family members from different parts of the world over Zoom. So it's the first time we actually got to meet up. So that was nice.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. So I know that you mentioned technology as a way to help each other feel connected, but are there other ways that we could help others feeling isolated?
So some of the ways that people did say at the hospital, they would come and communicate through, for instance, there are some elderly people whose family members would come and they make that phone call, but they're just outside the window.
Okay.
So if people are to do that in homes, for instance,
mm-hmm.
if someone, they cannot enter the house and socialize, but they can bring that phone, make that phone call, but be standing outside the window and
mm-hmm.
be talking as you look at each other's face.
Yeah.
Now it's winter, so that may be a little challenging
mm-hmm.
in the outside, but where it's possible, people who just feel it's enough of looking at the screen and see people's faces on the screen
mm-hmm.
and be out, breathing the fresh air and talking to them. But through
mm-hmm.
the window, and if there is no phone, it's possible to crack the window open and just talk. I know it may look awkward to the neighborhood and the snow on the front yard,
mm-hmm.
that just may give a little bit of that human connection.
Yeah,
without the screen,
mm-hmm.
it's beautiful. In the hospitals, yes, they come and they stand out somewhere. They wave their hands. Some of them make cards.
Mm-hmm.
Say things to the cards, so anything like that.
Yeah, those are some very creative ways that people can stay connected, especially since we're spending a lot of time looking at screens. It's nice to actually get out there and then see people in person, but then still have those barriers put in place to stay safe. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
At this point, we are in this and we are learning also. We mm-hmm. are learning also other good and neat ways. One thing that I have most recently started working on that was not part of what I did in the past was working with newcomers.
Okay.
Newcomers are impacted in a different way,
mm-hmm.
and mostly newcomers from the African continent.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of them come from a background where they had not been so exposed to counseling or therapy, and they were more used to having extended family
mm-hmm.
Address some of the needs. So they have arrived in a country at a time of a pandemic that has compounded their situation, especially refugees, people who come almost, it's not their plan, we're not coming with excitement, we're going to explore a new country or go to school.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they're running, they're escaping.
Mm-hmm.
And landing into a time of pandemic, usually they would wait in a shelter,
mm-hmm.
in a, their living condition is like a group living condition, and some of them have been exposed. So those have had different challenges during this pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So what I have recommended is if they can, those who are support workers or frontline workers working with them, if
mm-hmm.
there are ways to connect them, they are so used to the social, the group aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And session one-on-one is not as effective, but group therapy. If you know two or three of them and we can get them together on Zoom to share their experiences, share
mm-hmm.
what's happening, it lessens the weight of a challenge when someone knows another person is handling it, maybe this way or the other way.
Yeah.
Just ways, parenting courses. I've done some webinars with some of them
mm-hmm.
and just give tips on how to take care of themselves and just be well as they wait.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that, because I know that coming to a new country can be very difficult. And like, I know that for my parents, it was really important for them to connect to other people of African descent and to help them to feel connected. So I can only imagine what it's like to come to a new country during a pandemic. It's not easy. And I know that if you don't know much about people coming to the country as immigrants, you don't know that what kind of things they're going through. So I'm glad that you shed light on that.
Thank you.
So thank you so much for taking time out of your day to come and chat with me tonight.
It's a pleasure, and I thank you and hope that this kind of information and sharing of knowledge will be beneficial to many and bring some good as we walk through this challenging season together.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Have a good night.
And you too.
Thank you. Night. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Damien, one of the editors of the DCO Learning Forums podcast. Over the past year, we've been busy converting our Learning Forums series of videos into podcasts and thinking of new ways to continue delivering new and more in-depth content. We've seen the demand, and we're announcing our move to Pinecast and our new tip jar function. Please consider going to tips.pinecast.com/jar/distress-and-crisis-ontario. And donating. And in return, we'll be recording new follow-up episodes on some of our most popular topics. These will be accessible for tippers only and will help pay for travel, web hosting, etc. For the interim, you'll still be able to access existing content on both the Pinecast and Fireside feeds for free, but eventually we'll be making the switch to Pinecast. Thank you for your understanding.